Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us together. And we pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand what you're saying to us in your word this morning, so that we may love you even more. Amen. And can we have the house lights on, please? All right. Let me start by saying this, that some questions are easier to answer than others, right? So, easy question, 1 + 1. Easy enough too, right? 9 × 9, don't answer. What is it? What day is it today? Let me tell you, that's the question that gets harder to answer as you get older, but given that we're here today and I'm speaking, must be Sunday. Here's one for you. Is it going to rain? That's usually a difficult question. That is until you wash your car. Then, right. But look, when it comes to the question, what is a Christian? That question was far harder to answer and far more complex for the readers of 1 John, John's letter that we're looking at this morning. And for a number of reasons, because they lived in a world where there were many distractions and attractions that would lead them away from what they believed about Jesus. And not only that, they were also surrounded by people with different answers to that question. Some people they knew well and actually trusted. And that's why John has written this letter. It's so good. In chapter 5, verse 13, John actually tells us why he's written this letter. And he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John is writing to Christian people, people who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that they may know that they are saved, that they may know that they have eternal life, that they have a renewed relationship with God and life with him forever. So getting it right about this question, what is a Christian, was incredibly important because the stakes were high, because it's actually a matter of life or death. And what's true back then is still true for us today, isn't it? I mean, our situation isn't that different. We live in Sydney. There are many distractions, many attractions that can lead us away from putting Jesus first. And on top of that, everybody's got their answer to that question, what is a Christian? We've seen it over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? People have been weighing in on what is a Christian, social media, politicians, and the like. So whether you've been a Christian for years or you're still looking into it, what is a Christian and am I a Christian are questions that we need to have a good answer for. And that's why we've gone to the Bible. And that's what we're looking at this morning. And please come with me to verse 5 of chapter 1 of 1 John, where we're told that the answer to the question actually starts with God. So in verse 5, John starts by saying this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. And what John is doing here is actually building on what some of us saw last week from verses 1 to 4. And last week we were asked the question, how do we know what we do about God? How can we know that what we know about God is actually the truth? And the answer that John gives us is that it's through God revealing himself to us through Jesus, and then passing that on through eyewitnesses like our author, John. That's how we know. And why was knowing this important for the readers of 1 John? It's because their trust in what they have been told about Jesus, which had led them to place their trust in Jesus, was under attack. Because there were people that they'd known who used to be part of their church, part of their fellowship, who had left and were now teaching a different thing about Jesus. And this not only caused doubt, but it raised the question, are they right? Are they onto something? Should we listen to them? And what John says here in verse 5 is no. Don't you do that. And why does he say no? He says no because he says to his readers, do you know where your message has actually come from, this message you first heard and led you to place your trust in Jesus? It's not something made up. It's not the result of human beings. This is something that has come from God himself. This is the message we have heard from him, says John. And that's why answering this question, what is a Christian, needs to start with God. Because, I mean, what does being a Christian actually mean? It means being having a relationship with God. So actually, part of whatever answer you have has to involve God giving you that answer, doesn't it? And, you know, while I recognize that the message about Jesus has come through people and expresses history and culture, what we also need to realize is that it's not just not from people. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we are told that above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And what this part of the Bible is telling us is that, yes, God speaks through people at a particular time and in a particular context, but these people aren't the ultimate source of our knowledge about God and about Jesus, because they've only spoken as God has given them his message and empowered them through the Holy Spirit. It is God who gives the message. It comes from God himself. And how does God pass on that message? What we saw last week, through his eyewitnesses, through people like John. Which means for us today, we find God's message through the words of the Bible. So we want to answer our question, what is a Christian? That's where we need to start. We need to start with God, not the opinions of others or social media or politicians. We need to go directly to the source and listen to God. And what do we discover when we do that? So in the second half of verse 5, if you want to have a look, John says that the message that he received from God and now proclaims is God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And frankly, I find that a little bit surprising. That's not what I would have expected, because let's just say for a moment, someone went and asked you, well, what is a Christian? What is this Christian thing all about? I mean, that's not what you'd say, is it? You're probably more likely to say something like, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Where's that from? John 3:16. Who wrote John 3:16? John. Who wrote 1 John? John. So John knows John 3:16. So I'm just, so it raises the question, doesn't it? Why does he just put that there, right? This message we heard from him, we proclaim to you, John 3:16, cut, paste, right? Why doesn't he do that? Well, he does that for a reason. It's because God is light is actually the foundation for the message he now builds on, all right? Everything else he's about to say relies on this fact. Because what does it mean for God to be light? John doesn't say a lot here, but it's kind of obvious, right? God is light. So light are the things that go with God, like love and peace and holiness and justice. And what is darkness? Well, darkness is the opposite then, isn't it? The things that are not of God, you know, evil, wickedness, sin, injustice. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's the way John starts. And just as light exposes what is hidden in the darkness, so we had our survey before of what we'd do in the dark. I mean, you know, my answer would I pull out my phone and turn on the torch, right? You turn on a torch, you shine light in darkness to see what is there. And as a result, who God is light, actually shows us what darkness is as well. And as a result, what sin is. God defines sin, because what is sin? It's not just doing bad stuff. Sin is saying yes to ourselves and no to God, and putting what we want and we think before what God wants and God thinks. And just as answering the question, what is a Christian, starts with God, so does answering the question, what is sin? Because how can we know what sin is? How can we know what God thinks and God wants? Well, it's the same with any of our relationships, right? So, for example, let's just say you've decided to take me out for lunch. Thank you very much. I'll still fight for the bill. I'm Asian. It's one of those things. But, you know, thank you very much nonetheless, right? And you want to take me to somewhere you think I might like. Well, where would you go? Where would you go? How would you work that out? You could look at me and say, hey, he looks Chinese. Probably likes Asian food, right? I know a great place that does sweet and sour pork. Top tip, we don't eat sweet and sour pork. Anyway, Or you could say, oh, listen to him speak, right? He's got this thick Australian accent. He looks Chinese, but really, I think we just need to go to a club and get a schnitty or something like that, right? Or for those of you who are more concerned for me, you say, well, Gary's not looking very healthy these days. Might be his diet. So maybe he needs something vegan and organic, right? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to know what a person wants or what a person likes just by looking at them. Or imagining what they'd like, or anything like that. The best way to know what someone wants or likes is for them to tell you. And for those of you who've heard me before, you know what I want and what I like, because I believe that everything tastes better when it's fried. You know that, right? So whether you take me to have crispy pata or, you know, Korean fried chicken, all in, terrific, right? Now, in some strange way, it's a bit like that when it comes to God and sin. Right? How do we know what sin is? How do we know what God wants and God likes? Well, if God is light and God defines darkness, and as a result, God defines sin, well, God will tell us. We need to listen to him. And what that means is that we need to realize that we don't define sin or darkness. It all starts with him. And why is that important? Well, it's the challenge we face at the moment, isn't it? It's a big challenge we face as Christian people. In society, in our workplaces, in our families, in our schools, in our personal relationships, even in our churches. Because what is sin is hotly contested, and everybody has an opinion as to the answer to that. And while for us, we might believe that the truth about God, who he is and what he wants, is seen plainly in the Bible, because we believe that God reveals himself to us through the words of the Bible, in the eyes of some, if not many, this thinking is outdated and old-fashioned and even harmful at times, but also a barrier to mission and reaching those around us. This was something that was put forward in a speech at something I went to called General Synod. If you don't know what that is, you are blessed. Anyway, it's a gathering of Anglicans from around Australia. And this person got up and gave a speech and said that those who held on to the truth found in the Bible and the Bible's definition of sin, like us here in Sydney, were actually driving people away from knowing Jesus and becoming Christian. And when you hear something like that, you need to pay attention to that, don't you? Because that's not what we want. We don't want to drive people away from Jesus. We don't want to make it hard for people to know Jesus. There is nothing more important in the world than people coming to know Jesus and the life that he offers. So why would we, of all people, want to make it hard for them? Why would we want to put up barriers? Why don't we just make our message more attractive, more palatable, less controversial, easier to engage with? Why don't we just loosen or change our definition of sin for the sake of those around us? And the answer is, it's because we can't. Why? Because it's not our message. It's God's message. And sin isn't something for us to define. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And getting it wrong about sin has serious consequences, and John spells out those consequences for us in the following verses. And in a way, he does so through a series of ifs, not gifs, but ifs, IFS, right? And you'll see the first if you come with me to verse 6. You see, John says here in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, God, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. John says that light and darkness cannot mix. They can't go together. Yeah, you can't claim to be Christian and have fellowship with God and continue in sin. Light and darkness do not mix. And this is why we make such a big deal about holding on to the truth found in the Bible and what God says when it comes to sin. We're not deliberately making it harder for people. We're not setting up barriers. We're not trying to exclude people. We don't want to be unpopular. But we do want to be loving. And we do want what's best for those around us. And we want everyone around us to be able to have a relationship with God. And you can't have a relationship with God if you continue in darkness. And that makes John's second set of ifs quite problematic. Have a look at verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. John says, you can't claim to have a relationship with God and continue to walk in darkness and sin. But now he says, if you said you haven't sinned, you're lying to yourself and making God out to be a liar. This is a dilemma, isn't it? It's a really big problem. But before we deal with the problem, let me ask you for a second, have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned? Let me confess something to you. I used to think I hadn't. I used to think that I was basically a good person. Good, moral, upright. I thought highly of the Ten Commandments, the two that I knew. And, sinners, they were bad people. You know, the people you'd see on A Current Affair or something like that, right? You know, dodgy tradesmen, people tailgating you, drug dealers, those type of people, right? Shonks. Now, they're sinners. I'm good. But when I came to the Bible and became a Christian, what I came to realize was that if sin is saying yes to yourself and no to God, then even someone as good as me had sinned against God. Because I'd been loose with the truth. I've been selfish at times. I'd made plenty of decisions as if God wasn't there. And if that's the standard, then even the very, very best of us, and by the way, I wasn't that good, all right, have sinned against God at some point in our lives. And saying that we haven't just isn't true, says John. And why is that important? Well, we need to get it right about sin, don't we, given the first if. Because if we don't think that we've sinned, if we don't think we're walking in darkness, then we can be fooled into thinking that we're right with God, that there is no problem. There's nothing to worry about. Not realizing that our sin has serious consequences, putting us on the wrong side of God and the wrong side of his judgment. But that's not all. If we don't think we've sinned, it changes the whole way we look at what it means to be a Christian. Because what it reduces Christianity to little more than a lifestyle decision, or something we've grown up with, or part of our culture. Because if we don't think we've sinned, then there's no need for Jesus. And that's what we see in our third set of ifs. So come with me to verse 7. What has Jesus done for us? Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What does Jesus do for us? He allows sinners like us to have a relationship with God. He makes it so that people walking in darkness can now walk with God in his light. How? Through his blood. Through his blood shed on the cross, which purifies us, washes away our darkness, purifies us of all our sin and all our unrighteousness, bringing us forgiveness and making us right with God. And how does Jesus do that? By taking on our darkness on himself on the cross and giving us his light so we can walk with God. And that's what it also means as we move on to chapter 2 for Jesus to be our advocate and atoning sacrifice. So in chapter 2, verse 1, John says, my dear children, given what I've said, please remember, I write this to you so that you will not sin, because God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. I'm not writing to encourage you to sin. But if anybody does sin, and you will, please know, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who will speak to the Father on our behalf. Because that's what an advocate does. An advocate speaks on someone's behalf. And what does this advocate do? This Jesus Christ, the righteous one, he says to God the Father, please forgive them and welcome them into your life, because I have washed them clean so they are now able to walk with you. And that's also what it means for Jesus to be an atoning sacrifice, as you'll see in verse 2. Because what he does through his death on the cross, where he gives up his life as a sacrifice for us, is atone. And atone is one of those wonderful words where the word actually means what it looks like. Jesus atones. He makes us at one with God. He makes it possible for light and darkness to come together through his death, turning God's enemies into his children. And he can do that for anybody. He can do that for anybody. This is possible for all those who come to him, because Jesus, as we'll go on to read, is more than just a man. He's God in the flesh. And as a result, he is able to pay for the sins of the whole world, which means that no matter who you are or what you have done, if you come to Jesus, your darkness will be dealt with. But your darkness won't be dealt with if you don't think you have sinned. And your darkness won't be dealt with if you redefine sin. And your darkness won't be dealt with if you don't confess your sin and turn to Jesus and trust him to deal with them. And that's why John's message is, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And why John started with that when it came to answering the question, what is a Christian? Because even though the answer starts with God, it finishes with Jesus, who purifies our sins and makes a relationship with God possible. So let me ask you as we finish, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And if you are a Christian, what are you struggling with? What are the things that are causing you to doubt that first commitment you made? Causing you to doubt that first message you heard? Or making you think, well, have they got it right? Or is there something else I should know? Or are there other things in your life which are slowly dragging you away from where you started? Are you a Christian? Or if you're not yet a Christian, well, why? Why? Why is that the case? I mean, what are the barriers from stopping you to take that next step? Is the cost too high? Will you have to change? Are you worried about those around you and what they might think of you? I ask you the question because while I started off by saying that the answer to the question, what is a Christian, was complex for John's original readers and complex for us as well, I hope that you've seen that it actually isn't. It's not that complex. And that the answer to that question is actually straightforward. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And each of us in our own way have sinned against God. And because light and darkness cannot mix, we need Jesus to come to make a relationship with God possible through dying on the cross and dealing with our sin. In other words, what is the answer to the question, what is a Christian? It's a person who trusts Jesus to restore their relationship with God. It's pretty straightforward. And if what's causing you to doubt or getting in the way of you trusting in Jesus and listening to God is the opinions of others, or what people may think of you, the need of change, need for change, or the many attractions of this word, well, let me encourage you, before you do anything else, to go back to God and listen to him. Because when it comes to the question, what is a Christian? It starts with God and it ends with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you don't leave us in the darkness. You don't leave us in the darkness when it comes to our ability to know you. We thank you that you speak to us through your eyewitnesses like John. And we thank you that you don't leave us in the darkness when it comes to our sin. And you've sent your son Jesus to die on our behalf. We just pray, Father, that we would cling on to this message that we first heard and not let other answers from other people undermine our faith. And we pray, Father, that especially for those of us who are yet to know Jesus, that you would open our eyes through the power of your Spirit and your Word to come to a knowledge of the truth so that we can walk with you in your light. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.